Shishunam of the children.
Hedanam
massacre. Sutanam of the sons. Nishamya after hearing. Goram ghastly. Paritapyamana lamenting. Tala at that time. Arudat began to cry. Vashpakala akula akshi with tears in the eyes. Tam her. Santvayan pacifying. Aha said. Karitamali Arjuna. Translation, Draupadi, the mother of the five children of the Pandavas, after hearing of the massacre of her sons, began to cry in distress with eyes full of tears, trying to pacify her in great loss. Arjuna spoke to her thus. She would repeat, Draupadi, the mother of the five children, of the Pandavas, after hearing of the massacre of her sons, began to cry in distress with eyes full of tears, trying to pacify her in her great loss. Arjuna spoke to her thus. There's no purport to this text, so we'll need the next text. We'll read the next text. Text 16. Atarasuchaste apramrijami budhre yad brahma bando shira attatayana kandiva muktair vishikair upahare tvakramya yat snashasi dagdaputra. O gentle lady, when I present you with the head of that brahmana, after beheading him with arrows from my Kandiva bow, I shall then wipe the tears from your eyes and pacify you. Then after burning your sons' bodies, you can take your bath standing on his head. Purport by his divine grace, Shilabhaupada ki jai. An enemy who sets fire in the house, administers poison, attacks all of a sudden with deadly weapons, plunders wealth, or usurps agricultural fields, or entices one's wife, is called an aggressor. Such an aggressor, though he be a brahmana, or a so-called son of a brahmana, has to be punished in all circumstances. When Arjuna promised to behead the aggressor named Ashvatthama, he knew well that Ashvatthama was the son of a brahmana. But because the so-called brahmana acted like a butcher, he was taken as such, and there was no question of sin in killing such a brahmana's son, who proved to be a villain. So, Om Gana Timuranda Shah, Gudanjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Miditam, Yena Tasmai, Shri Gurave Maha. So you can imagine the scenario, because the mother's love, we've spoken about this before, but a mother's love for the children is the closest thing to pure love in this material world. As I was saying the other day, that if you go to a funeral, that everybody who's crying at the funeral is crying over themselves, except for the mother. Because they're all crying, you know, oh, what will I do without him? Who will pay the bills? What about if I don't have his sweet words? If I don't have his smiley face, you know, whatever it is, they're all crying about themselves. It's not about them. I mean, they say it's about them, they think it's about them, but it's actually about what he would do to me. But the mother is actually just thinking of the child's welfare, which is simply amazing, the love mother has. Just like someone was telling me last night, that not only the mother's love, but actually increases even when there's grandchildren. You understand? Grandchildren. that the mother loves the children, but even the grandchildren more, isn't it true? You know, I was thinking, wow, if I had such love for Krishna, I'd be so happy. So anyway, this is Prabhupada sense, the closest thing to pure love. So you can imagine what will happen if someone kills a mother's child or children. In this case, it's five of them that were killed. Draupadi, children from different husbands, of course, because they had the five Pandavas with her husbands. It's an interesting story about that. You know why she married five husbands. Well, the story goes as follows: that in her previous life, she was wanting a husband, and somehow her husband didn't come. And so she prayed to Lord Shiva, and praying to him very hard, Lord Shiva finally appeared, and she was so enthusiastic to get a husband that she basically asked five times, I want a husband. I really want a husband. I want a husband. Want a husband. Want a husband. And then as a result, Lord Shiva said, you ask five times, you get five husbands. This was actually told by Srila Vyasadeva to Kunti Devi, because Kunti Devi was actually thinking, is it appropriate to have five boys marry one girl? Of course, in those days they had one man could have many wives. We mentioned Krishna had 16,108 wives. And Kshatriyas, they generally had many wives and also dasis too. When they would marry someone, the servants of that particular individual would come and live with the queen, and then the king would have children by those dasis, and they were called dasi putras. And anyway, sometimes there was trouble, like in the case of Sarmishta and Devyani. But in any case, so that's one reason why there were five husbands. Another reason was when Arjuna won Draupadi, they were, of course, the Pandavas were disguised as brahmanas, and there was the Swayamvara of Draupadi. Swayamvara basically means she chooses her own, not simply that she's like some gold medal in the Olympics. You know, there's a misunderstanding. If the Kshatriyas compete and they carry away the girls as a trophy. Nowadays they have the same trophy wife. You ever heard of that before? Some of you have heard of that. That's a Western saying. That someone marries a very beautiful girl so we can show her off to everybody as a trophy. It's called trophy wife. They don't really love her, but you know, just like, I did better than you. It's like keeping, like if you play golf and win tournaments, you put a trophy on your shelf, so you put your wife on your shelf. Anyway, so and it's generally not accepted, even in the traditional Vedic system, for a woman to marry many husbands. So anyway, another reason was that when Arjuna, he was won in this competition, you know, shooting the fish, looking down at the water, all those things. And then he brought Draupadi back to see his mother and to see his other brothers. And the mother responded when Arjuna said, I have won something in the competition. And basically his mother said, share whatever you won equally amongst all the brothers. And so Arjuna was thinking, oh my God, I should have told her it was a girl. And he was a little upset. And then when she looked up, she said, uh-oh, what did I say? But the sons were so obedient to the mother's word, and the mother, it was like when you said something, it had to be done, you know, especially these great devotees, great personalities like Draupadi, like Kunti Devi, the sons had to carry out the order of the mother. They couldn't negate the order of the mother. Once the order came out, she couldn't pull it back. So they said, well, I guess we have to marry her, all of us, together. So, and these are the reasons why she had five husbands. Anyway, so getting back to this story, she had a son by each of the husbands. Of course, Arjuna was quite a Prajapati. He didn't just have one wife. there's that interesting story that Narada Muni came one time to the Pandavas, and he was very concerned that the Pandavas would fight over their wife, because he wanted to keep them together. I mean, sometimes men do fight over women. Nowadays, men fight with women, but that's a different subject matter. But in the old days, the men would fight over women, and the women wouldn't, you know, obviously wouldn't be the object of any sort of abuse. So, Narada Muni was very, very concerned. This is a story from the Mahabharata. And so he went to the Pandavas and he said, look, if you want to avoid conflict, you have to make a rule that if one of you is with Draupadi, the other ones can't come in. And if they come in, they should be banished to the forest for so many years. And so what happened is one time, Draupadi was with Yudhisthira Maharaj. And Arjuna had to walk in because the weapons were there. There was some brahmana who was being attacked. And Arjuna had to get the weapons because the weapons were in Yudhisthira Maharaj's house or room or wherever he was staying. So Arjuna walked in and he intruded upon his brother and Draupadi, and as a result he had to be exiled for so many years. I think it was 14 years or something like that. But while he was, and he also had to take the vow of brahmachari life. So it's an interesting story that he said, now I have to be a brahmachari for so many years. And I forget the exact number of years. It may have been 14 or 11 or something. But that's not the important thing as far as the story is concerned. So he went out with a bunch of brahmanas, and they took bath in the Ganges as part of the, you know, brahmachari significance. And then what happened is, as he was taking bath in the Ganges, he was kidnapped by this girl, Ulupi. You know that story? And he was dragged under the water. And she said, I love you, marry me. And so he said, look, I'm supposed to be a brahmachari, it's not going to work out. And she said, no, you're only supposed to be a brahmachari in relationship to Draupadi. Not in, and so he liked that explanation. You know, dispensation, explanation. So then they had a son, Bahubravan was the son. Anyway, and then also, anyway, it happened with a number of other girls, and eventually he ended up kidnapping Subhadra. You know, after this whole exile almost was finished, he went to Dwarka, and when he was in Dwarka, he saw Subhadra, and of course he dressed up like a sannyasi. He had all sorts of interesting ways of getting married. So he dressed up as a sannyasi because Balaram actually wanted to marry Subhadra with Duryodhana, because Duryodhana wanted to avoid the Yadu dynasty taking sides in the Battle of Kurukshetra, which he knew there was going to be a battle later on. So he thought, you know, if I can make an alliance, that's what kings usually did. If they wanted to make an alliance with another kingdom, they would marry someone from that other kingdom, or have their son marry someone from the other kingdom. So therefore, Duryodhana, he actually buttered up, as they say, Balaram. You know, he just like took Balaram as his martial arts teacher, made buddies with him, and said, hey, friend, you know, can I marry your sister? And Balaram, of course, you know, friendship, you know, if you're friends with someone, you ask them something, you have to give. Balaram said, of course you can marry my sister. So Krishna didn't like this idea. So he planned a nice strategy, had Arjuna dress up as a sannyasi, go to Balaram's house where Subhadra was also. And he was, a sannyasi was making eyes at women. You know, sitting down. Imagine a sannyasi, you invite a sannyasi to your home and sits down at the dinner table and your daughter or sister is there and he's going, you know, showing his muscles or whatever. Well, I don't know exactly what he did, but Prabhupada describes this. He's just like, pretty interesting, sannyasi. And this is before Kali Yuga too. So, and then he eventually ended up kidnapping her. And when he kidnapped her, Balaram was so upset he was getting ready to kill Arjuna, calling for all the soldiers of the Yadu dynasty to capture Arjuna, and then Krishna just said to him, it's actually a good idea. And, you know, married to Arjuna, I mean, where will she find a better husband? And Balaram just, like, got frustrated and gave up at that particular point. So, anyway, so Arjuna had quite a few other wives. One person even said that that's where Argentina comes from. He populated Argentina. Anyway, I don't know if that's true. Because Argentina, Arjun, you know. Anyway, that's... I don't know if that's true. Why, that someone just speculated. But he did marry quite a few other ladies. And actually, when he brought Subhadra back after this period of exile was over, Draupadi was pretty upset with him. Because Draupadi's favorite was always Arjuna. And this was her fault, actually. It's described in the Mahabharata that when the Pandavas were marching to the north, finally giving up everything, that each one died, or left their bodies. And, of course, the fault, as I mentioned, the fault of Bhimsen was that he ate too much, made more than his own portion. And the fault of Arjuna is he bragged he would defeat an enemy one day and it didn't happen. And then it was either Sahadeva or Nakula thought he was the most powerful person on earth. So Draupadi's fault was that she favored Arjuna above the other Pandavas. So Draupadi was very angry when Arjuna brought back Subhadra. She heard Arjuna had married Subhadra or kidnapped Subhadra. And so they arranged that Subhadra would dress up like a coward girl and say to Draupadi, you know, I'm your servant. That's owes me. I'm your servant. So this way Draupadi's heart became softened. So they were friends at that point. So in any case, Draupadi had these five sons by the Pandavas, and the sons were killed by this Ashwatthama. He was actually Brahma Bandhu, not actually Brahman. Brahma Bandhu means friend. Like, Krishna would sometimes call his friends, coward boys' friends, Bandhu, like that. So there's nothing wrong with the word. But it actually means that someone who's associated with a Brahmin, either a son of a Brahmin or a friend of a Brahmin, but he's not actually qualified to be a Brahmin. He has a Brahmin name. Like you see in Kali Yuga, that it says in the Bhagavatam that many, many demons are born in Brahmin families. So you really can't take it seriously if someone has the name Sharma or Trivedi or anything like that. Don't insult them, but... And actually, they lose their Brahminical status just by the work that they're doing. I know many Sharmas who run restaurants, you know, meat restaurants, not just vegetarian restaurants, or hotels, isn't it? Sometimes they run hotels, or they're working for Microsoft, or whatever. And so technically, according to the Vedic system, they're not Brahmins anymore. Of course, according to the Pancharatriki system, someone can be a Brahmin because he's a devotee and still hold a job. There's different systems of understanding one's status. There's the Vedic system, Pancharatriki system, and the Bhagavati system. There's three different systems. The Vedic system is based on like strict like rituals and rules and regulations, and if one violates any of them, like if you get water from a Muslim's water pot, not only do you lose your caste, you lose your religion. You know, that's the Vedic system. You know, you just go over someone's house and you eat and they're not qualified, you lose your caste. I mean, Lord Nityananda said when he was eating over at the Dvaitacharya's house. That, you know, I'm eating at the house of a Mayavadi. And then Dvaitacharya said, you know, I fed someone who nobody knows his caste. He's just an avaduta, you know, like a hippie or something like that. Avaduta is like the Sanskrit name for hippie. Unless someone is actually Krishna conscious, then an avaduta can mean like Lord Nityananda. But generally, if someone says they're avaduta, that means they're hippie, because they're doing any damn thing. So Dvaitacharya, he said, you know, I've been feeding this avaduta. Who knows where he comes from? I've lost my caste. So this is Vedic system. But according to the Pancharatrika system, and the Vedic system, there's so many rules and regulations, like not eating this on a certain day, can't eat carrots, other things. That's Vedic. And therefore you find in the Hari Bhakti Vilas, Sanatana Goswami mentions these things because he's preaching to Vedic Brahmanas. He preaches don't eat carrots, or so many other vegetables like that you're not allowed to eat. And on Ekadasi, you have to do this, you have to do that. And it's all for Vedic stuff. It's all ritualistic stuff. And sometimes you find the Vedic understanding, which is not appropriate for us, makes its way into the Krishna consciousness movement, and people become very ritualistic. For example, there was one devotee, he used to be a member of ISKCON. His name was Krishna Balaram Swami. He published his book about Ekadasi. And it's just like Karmakanda, practically speaking. You follow this Ekadasi, you'll find a nice wife. If you follow that Ekadasi, you make a lot. Yeah, anyway, it was all this stuff that really had nothing to do, not all of it, but much of it had nothing to do with devotional service. And so that's the Vedic understanding, which is not appropriate for Kali Yuga either. In Kali Yuga, the proper understanding is the Pancharatrika system. So according to the Pancharatrika system, then there's more leniency. Then according to the Pancharatrika system, someone born in the Malecha family can be elevated and do deity worship. But according to the Vedic system, it's not a case. So there's two different systems. I mean, actually that's elaborated on in the Mahabharata, where Vyasadev is talking to a worm. And the worm is crossing the road, and Vyasadeva says, why are you crossing the road so quickly? And the worm says, I don't want to get killed. There's a cart coming. And Vyasadeva says, well, if you get killed, you're going to take a higher birth, higher birth, higher birth. Eventually, you're going to be a Shudra. And then a Vaishya, I'll be your guru. And eventually, you're going to be a Kshatriya, and I'll be your guru. And eventually, you'll be a Brahmin, I'll be your guru. And eventually, after many, many births, you go back to Godhead. And the worm said, Hari Bol. And it stayed in the middle of the road and got run over. So that's the Vedic system, where everything is just like really chaos conscious. And then in Pancharatrika system is the system we follow. For example, the Pancharatrika system, the women could take initiation. The Vedic system, the women didn't take initiation. They would hear the mantra. They wouldn't chant. For example, in the Vedic system, the women wouldn't chant the Brahma Gayatri. Sometimes people criticize ISKCON. And they say, well, ISKCON, the Prabhupada gave the women the Brahma Gayatri. That's the first line of Gayatri, Om Bhul Bhava Swata. I think everybody knows that. Because nowadays they have these Gayatri Parivaras where they chant it as kirtan, isn't it? Which is kind of weird. It's not meant to be chanted in kirtan. I've seen actually dances where they dance around. They hold each other's arms. You see that? It's so weird. It's incredibly weird. But anyway, so according to the Pancharatrika system, then the women can do the deity worship, the women can do all these other things. And it's different. And of course, we also have the Bhagavad Vidhi, which is chanting Hare Krishna and preaching Krishna consciousness. So in any case, getting back to the story, so Ashwatthama was not actually qualified as a Brahmin either by quality or by work. As Krishna says in the Gita, Chaturvarnamaya Shastam Gunakarma Vibhagasam. That's how one becomes qualified. So he was considered the friend of a Brahmin. And even though he was in a Brahminical family, he could have been killed, because if a Brahmin doesn't act like a Brahmin, he can be killed, and that was the proper thing for Arjuna to do. Of course, later on, they didn't actually kill his body, as we mentioned yesterday. They did something else that was equivalent to kill him. Just one final point. Prabhupada here talks about aggressors. Oh, actually, there's several points here. Prabhupada talks about aggressors could be killed. Prabhupada was very specific about this. One time a devotee killed someone who took his wife away. It was about 2 months later he killed him. Prabhupada said, first of all, it's only if someone's kidnapping your wife. If she runs away voluntarily, you don't kill the guy. If someone's kidnapping, kidnapping means the guy ties her up or something like that, drags her away by the hair like the cavemen used to do, You know, me Tarzan, you Jane. You hear that before? You know, that, and Prabhupada said, premeditated murder is something different. Like, if you're trying to get even with someone for taking your wife away, that's called retributive justice, is not actually recommended. In other words, feeling good that you hurt someone who hurt you. And this is also what Arjuna is proposing here. Thereafter, after burning your son's bodies, you can take your bath standing on his head. That's really what we don't prescribe in the Vedic system, is getting even with someone. It's not like in the Old Testament it says an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Because if you have this eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth thing, everybody's going to need to go to a dentist, an eye doctor. Yeah, the whole world will be blind and toothless. Which is kind of stupid. Whereas we're supposed to be forgiving. That's one of the Brahminical qualities. Of course, if someone commits a crime, they have to be properly dealt with, but not out of a sense of vengeance. Not out of a sense of feeling good that you're suffering. I want to see you suffer. That's just as bad as the crime itself. To feel good. Like sometimes they have people who stand outside where they're doing capital punishment, you know, killing a murderer, and they just like do something called tailgating. I don't know if you know what tailgating is. It's not that important. It's when you have a pickup truck and you sit on the tailgate of the pickup truck and you get drunk. Anyway, so, and they cheer when someone is killed. We don't want to see anyone suffer. We want to see people rectified. That's something different. Rather than a retributive justice, we want to see someone rectified. And, you know, actually taught a lesson. But not, we don't take pleasure by seeing a criminal suffer. And this is what Arjuna is proposing here. Of course, that's natural. He's in the mode of, he's a kshatriya who is supposed to be in the mode of passion. In the mode of passion, you have this, you know, I want to teach you a lesson, see you suffer. But that's not really Krishna conscious to do that. You know, and it's not gonna, it wouldn't make the mother feel any better to stand on the head of her son's killer. Would it? I mean, stand on the head. You know, you just want your children back. That's the point. Okay, so any questions or comments about any of these points? Yeah.
I thought I heard someone telling that thing with the worm, where you're taking birth from the animal species and the human, and first you take birth as a malicha and then a sudra and so on.
Yeah.
But if you take birth as a malicha, aren't the chances you take birth as an animal after that life because of so much sinful activity?
Not necessarily. I mean, a malicha can chant Hare Krishna. I mean, like Prabhupada said, one time there was a program, kirtan program, and then Prabhupada said Narada Muni was there. And the buddy said, what was Narada Muni doing? Prabhupada said, laughing and seeing all the malechas chanting and dancing. You know, just laughing. I mean, laughing with great pleasure, obviously. Not laughing at us, but laughing at great pleasure. Wow, Prabhupada's such a, you know, a wonderful devotee. He's getting the malecha. It's like Lord Chaitanya getting the tigers and the deer to kiss each other. Right? I mean, it's equivalent. It's probably harder. It's probably easier to get tiger and deer to kiss each other than to get malechas to become Vaishnavas. And that's a miracle. Prabhupada said he's done much more miracles than Satyasai Baba. He said, turn hippies to happies. I mean, or the example given by Rupa Goswami is turn bell metal to gold. That's alchemy. Prabhupada was an alchemist. Does that make sense? Alchemist. You know, he turned something worthless into something beautiful. And the devotees became so Krishna conscious that when people would see the devotees, even if they were from the same country, they would ask, what country are you from? Because they'd say, you know, you're effulgent. Like that. Devotee has a natural effulgent. And of course, effulgent. So of course, when Prabhupada was in New York, some people looked at Prabhupada and said, wow, he's glowing. Swami is glowing. Prabhupada did actually glow. Even I experienced where Prabhupada sat and his vyasas on the footprints glowed after Prabhupada left. we had this Vyasa-san in we were in Gainesville, Florida in 1971, and after Prabhupada sat on it, it was glowing. I had the footprints that Prabhupada left. It was it was a material where you can see the footprints of velour or something like that, and it was glowing. And we would go like that, put our head to the Vyasa-san, you know, like that. So, any other questions? So, you can go back to God. You don't have to go to hell in this life.
What are the third group? How do you say the
Panchratrigi? Bhagavatvidhi is the third. That's the chanting. Panchratrigi vidhi is like the rules and regulations for deity worship and worship in the temple. And that's the process we follow. The Panchratrigi vidhi we follow. Following Narada Muni and the Narada Panchratra. He's actually the author or the originator of the Panchratrigi vidhi. But the Vedic system we're not following, because according to the Vedic system, we just have to wait for future birth. And according to the Vedic system, even if you had a Brahminical birth, just by coming to the Western world, you ruined everything. Crossing over the seas, you ruined everything. You know, you become a Mlacha, even if you were a Brahmin before, according to the Vedic system. And you, like Prabhupada commented, like the strict Brahmanas in India, even if they were joined the army, they had their own little kitchen. Some of them wouldn't even let their wives cook for them. They were so strict. And so the army arranged for little stoves for everybody. What to speak of going to restaurants? The Brahmin goes to a restaurant, he's lost his caste, 100%. According to the Vedic system. Practically anything, if he watches TV. Watches a Hollywood movie, he lost his cat.
The Vedic system is based on Manusamhita?
Yeah, Manusamhita. Manusamhita, it's very strict. It really is a hereditary system, the Vedic system. And, we don't follow that system. We follow the Panchratrigi system and Bhagavad Vidhi. And Prabhupada said we have two tracks in our Krishna consciousness, the Bhagavad Vidhi and Panchratrigi system. And of the two, Bhagavad Vidhi is more important. In other words, the chanting of Hare Krishna, the Bhagavatam, hearing Krishna Katha is more important than the Panchratrigi Vidhi. Although Prabhupada said both are necessary, it's like two tracks of a train, not a monorail, but two tracks of a train that keep the train on track. So it's important. Panchratrigi Vidhi and Bhagavad Vidhi, remember that. Not the Vedic system. The Vedic system is just not really for this age. Okay, I think we have to end now. All glories to Svangre Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai, Gaura Premananda, Hari Hari Bom.